broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And welcome here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night we're here until 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. This is Radio for Patriots, by Patriots. Thank you. And we're online at philhendryshow.com. So if you would like to enjoy our show visually as well as audioly, you can watch us at philhendryshow.com. We've got Phil TV in HD and some behind the scenes. It's uncensored, meaning that during the breaks we're just here, and there have been some pretty wild things. In fact, I brought it up to Kevin Pollak when I was on his chat show, because he has a similar video studio to ours, and he does a tremendous, tremendous job with his show on Sunday afternoons. But I said to him, you know, our show is uncensored, and his is too, but he doesn't go into full emotional breakdowns like I do. And he did say, well, you know, they're getting a look at the hows and the whys and the wherefores. And he said, you're flying by the seat of your pants. Of course they're going to see that kind of thing.
Yeah, but he's just being nice.
Yeah. I think he probably, if he really said what he felt, he'd probably be all embarrassed.
Oh, is that right? Well, you know, the way he said it sounded to me like maybe he'd seen one. What do you mean he was trying to be nice?
I think maybe he was. You're going to have to call him up and ask him. Let me call him up and ask him. Here, let me get
away from the phone. No, I don't want you to call him up and ask him. All right, 877-876-PHIL is our number here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Now, I want to remind you that not only are we at philhendryshow.com, we're also on Twitter at realphilhendry forward, what is it? It's twitter.com/realphilhendry. twitter.com/realphilhendry. And also, we're on Facebook at facebook.com/philhendry. So, there's a lot of different ways that we can stay in touch with you, and certainly you are welcome. We've got one more day left in our Phil lookalike contest, and some guy who thought he was being cute, he photoshopped a picture of some dude, some old guy on an oxygen tank. And like I said, you can say I'm old because I'm 58, man, but you're from West Virginia. Woohoo! And given the choice, I think I'd rather be old.
Ow!
So, anyway, I said to the guy, it's a lookalike contest, man, so I'm assuming that's you. And he's all... So anyway, go to twitter.com/realphilhendry and enter there with your Real Phil Hendry lookalike picture. And the winner gets a personally autographed legacy CD from me to you. Mwah, like that. All right. R.C. Collins is a cadet at Bradley Military Academy, which is located in Altadena, California. And we are talking to him as part of our five-part series on education, secondary, high school education, and, you know, careers, especially young people who are thinking about a career in the military. God knows we've got we got the greatest generation of young people. I'm telling you, I think we really do. I mean, I always talk about these touchy-feely parents, but... if you look at the young guys that and young women that volunteered for military service after 9/11, if you look at the military that we have, it's amazing. And it shows that the draft, getting rid of the draft, was a good thing. R.C. joining us. R.C., how are you doing?
Yeah, Mr. Henry, I'm very good. Thank you.
And you are a what class?
Secondary 3. That's the equivalent of a junior.
Could you speak up for me?
Yes, sir. Secondary 3 is the equivalent of a junior in high school.
Okay, so you're like a junior. Are you called a junior cadet?
Well, no, a secondary 3 cadet. I have the rank of a lieutenant in our rank structure here.
Okay, and you wrote a paper that was of interest online for the Bradley Military Academy newspaper. About how disappointed you are in the fact that bin Laden has been captured, and that you went out on a survival training recently, and you ran a little bit afoul of the authorities. Now, I'm not exactly sure how all of that happened or what happened. Can you give us a little inside?
Yes, sir. We went on semi-regular, it's like a semi-annual training exercise, survival exercise. Basically, what happens, Mr. Hendry, is we're given different survival options. We are allowed to take with us a very limited amount of survival supply, but we go into an area of the bush, generally an area of overgrowth around Bradley here in the Altadena area. We've got a lot of those things like in the foothill areas, and it is basically an exercise in escaping. Excuse me. It's basically an exercise in.
You want to get a glass of water?
Yeah, if you don't mind.
R.C. Collins with us, a junior cadet.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead.
It's basically an exercise in escaping a kind of a virtual captivity or prisoner of war situation where you are able to escape from a prisoner of war style camp and remain alive in the wild for several days while you await rescue. And so that's what that was, and that's when I brought along with me some homebrew, and I just, you know, I was sick of what I'd been reading in the paper, and I just, I guess you might say I kind of went overboard and violated regulations.
All right, what were you angry about that you had seen in the paper? Now, you're out in this training exercise.
Correct.
And this is an exercise whereby you escape some prisoner of war captivity?
Yes, sir. It's pretty standard in the military, and we're doing it at the military academy level now with survival training.
All right, so it's survival training.
Yes, sir.
All right, so you smuggled some kind of alcohol with you.
Yes, I did.
What did you smuggle?
Well, what I did was I smuggled some grain alcohol, and when I got into the wood, I used different kinds of sap. I used some different kinds of juices from leaves and from different fruits that I found, and fermented a little bit of it, fermented a little bit more, and drank it.
So you made a little bit of homebrew out in the wild.
Yes, sir.
Why?
Well, I mean, like I was saying, I was angry with what happened, that the Bin Laden had been killed by the Navy SEALs, which I have to say I'm grateful that they got him, and you know, my hat's off to the guys that did that, but I feel a little bit cheated because my whole reason for coming into the military was to go and get Bin Laden, and I had always said that I wanted to put his head on a stick and come out of the cave area with a head on a stick.
And you were not able to get Bin Laden's head on a stick.
Yeah, because the Navy SEALs went in and did it.
All right. You're not saying, though, that you're sorry that the SEALs got him.
Well, I think that was the dilemma that I had, and was one of the dilemmas that I had when I went out on training exercise and started to ferment this sort of a moonshine that I made out there. And I found myself blacking out, and probably about 24 hours I wandered into a populated area, a neighborhood area. I only had on a pair of shorts, and I was pretty disoriented.
Well, let me ask you something, because you're describing me to me right now, RC, events. How do you feel about this? How do you feel, you know?
Well,
how do you feel about going out and getting drunk on a training exercise, on a survival course? How do you feel about being disappointed that Bin Laden was killed by the SEALs? How do you feel about being conflicted about that? What is going on inside of you? Because for those of us who are listening, I got to tell you, it sounds a little hard to grasp.
Well, I don't know why it would be hard to grasp. I mean, my whole life was spent wanting to be in the military. When I heard about everything that happened on 9/11 and all the stuff that happened on that day, I decided that I wanted to join the U.S. Army, and I wanted to go to Afghanistan again. Or over to Kakistan, or however, wherever they is, and I wanted to go find Bin Laden. I wanted to sever it off and put it on some kind of a stick or a pole. And
you wanted to literally cut Bin Laden's head off.
Yes, sir, I did, because that's what he was doing to people.
And then what did you want to do?
Well, I mean, I wanted to go in and I wanted to cut it off and put it on a pole or put it on some sort of a device, and then come out of the cave with it and show everyone that we did it, you know, and give credit to my unit and to the U.S. Army. But as it turns out, the Navy SEALs done it. And, you know, I mean, like I said, I have all respect for them, but I also am kind of, I'm a little bit conflicted about it, you know. because I really feel cheated. And
all right, how can you feel cheated, R.C., when nobody said to you, hey, by the way, it's your job, R.C. Collins, to go get Bin Laden. It's going to be your job, R.C. Collins, to go and cut his head off and put it on a stick or whatever you said. It's going to be your job, R.C. Collins. How do you feel cheated because you were not promised the job?
Well, I feel that an entire generation of us was promised the job when the 9/11 attacks happened, and I seen it, and we all did see it. And when we went into the military, it was a promise that was made to us that we was going to go and get Bin Laden. I'm sure you saw, Mr. Henry, the way that the country reacted when they did get him, and everybody danced, and everyone was dancing and singing, and it was like a whole, and everybody there wished that they had gone to get him. And I did too, but I felt very cheated that I, you know, it's hard to explain except for the fact that the Navy, and everybody looks down their nose at the Army and the Navy. You know, the Navy, they're supposed to be on, and this is the one thing that nobody ever brings up. The Navy is not supposed to be on land. The Navy is supposed to be on the water. And
what do you mean the Navy's not supposed to be on land? Are you talking about the SEALs?
Well, yes, sir. I mean, the Navy SEALs are supposed to be on water. They do all their fighting on water. They do demolition. They are in boats and ships and submarines, too. And these Navy SEALs was thousands and thousands and thousands of miles up in a mountain range. And that's when the Navy has gone completely out of where they're supposed to be. What am I supposed to say about that? It would be like if the Army went on a boat.
All right, we're talking with R.C. Collins here. We're going to take a break. Our number is 877-876-PHIL. And among the many things that this young man is talking about, and he is a U.S. He's a military cadet at a military academy. He feels cheated. He wanted to go and find Bin Laden. He represents a whole generation of kids. He wanted to join the Army to do that. It was not to be. The U.S. Navy SEALs went and got Bin Laden. He feels cheated because while the SEALs did a great job, the SEALs are Navy, and they're supposed to do all their fighting on the water. What were they doing on land? 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Should the Navy SEALs, if they're called SEALs and they fight for the United States Navy, should they do all of their combat operations on water? Should they not leave the land fighting to the Army? 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
But SEALs can go on land.
Well.
To call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
World famous Phil Henry Show here with R.C. Collins, who is a level 3 cadet, a junior cadet in a military academy, and that is in Bradley Military Academy in Altadena, California. For those of you not familiar with Altadena, it's above Pasadena in the northern suburban environs of Southern California. But we're really talking here about military academy life. And how Bin Laden's capture affected those of you. You're very young, R.C. I appreciate your patriotism. You've made some comments here about the SEAL team. You know that these guys are the best. You know,
well, there's no question, Mr. Henry. There's no question at all that the Navy SEALs is the best. And I don't mean, and if ever you was going to send, you know, but the thing that I think is important to know is the SEALs are supposedly, if you know what a SEAL is, and they named the Navy SEALs after a SEAL. The SEALs are on water, and the Navy is in the water too. And how come they allowed them to go on land? And
you know that SEALs, if you know anything about SEALs, SEALs go on land.
Well, SEALs go on land, but they go on land on like a rock that is splashed with a wave and everything. That's not. It's sort of the same, and it's. In other words, they will go on the land. But it is being splashed with a wave. And
well, what are you saying exactly? That SEALs, with all of that training, we limit them to the ocean because they happen to be a part of the U.S. Navy?
Well, sir, I, I don't want to say anything bad, but let's take a look at what happened to the Navy SEALs. If you put them on land, okay, that's, you know, I think you're pushing your luck. When you put them in the air, and this is a naval-based combat group, they're used to water and being down on the water and everything, frog in a frog suit. Now they're in an aircraft, now they're flying, now they're even more like, what? You know, it's disorienting, I think, for a Navy, like it would be for me if you put me on a ship and then said, go fight the enemy. I'd be, you know, where, you know, how do I do it? I'm on water. So I think that's the thing to remember.
All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL, and let's go to some phone calls here. Calling us from Macon is John. Go ahead, John. You're on the Phil Henry Show with R.C. Collins.
Thank you very much, Phil.
Yes, sir.
For one, I'm going to speak directly to the cadet. One.
Oh, yes, sir.
If you know anything about history, SEAL stands for sea, air, and land. That's what the acronym of SEAL is. SEAL isn't a name. I worked with Navy SEALs.
Well,
they are trained for sea, for air, and for land duties. And that includes mountainous terrain. And if you've caught up on anything during the past 4 years, the Pentagon and the Joint Chiefs of Staff has said that all special forces units will cross-train with each other. That means any group in the special forces unit can all work their environment. You need to study your history.
Well, I know that, sir, but I just was going to add, I'm talking about the practice. First of all, I'm not sure you said the Pentagon.
Pentagon.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Pentagon.
Okay. If you're in the Navy, then I think it's reasonable to assume if I'm in the Navy, hello, where's the water? Okay. And I'm in the Army, and I don't know if you're in the Army, but anyway. Then they give a guy to do something. They give a guy a job to do, and he's not on the water.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying?
No, you didn't hear what this gentleman said.
I'm a 17-year Navy veteran of a certain air combat unit. Now, listen to me. I served 6 years in Iraq and Afghanistan on the land
Iraq?
Is search and rescue in Iraq and Afghanistan.
What's Iraq?
Iraq, the country Iraq.
Oh, I'm sorry.
My rank is first class petty officer. Let me tell you something.
Okay.
There is Navy, Navy.
Okay.
There's everybody that serves in Iraq. It doesn't matter whether you're on land or on the sea. We all have specialized jobs. Sometimes requires to be on land.
Do you trust a guy that is only used to being on the water? Do you trust him to go to the mountains and kill and fight?
You know, SEALs spend half their time on land in combat.
Well, yeah. I mean, you got to live in a house.
No.
What?
They don't live in houses. They live wherever they're at. When they want to camp out, if it's in the middle of a damn stream on a mountainside, that's where they camp out at.
But what I'm saying is,
withstand this stuff.
Uh-huh. If the SEAL wouldn't you be afraid if an Army guy came onto the boat and goes, okay, yeah, I'm the Army, let me drive the boat. Come on.
Oh, you're not even listening to what this man is. Yeah, I'm sorry to interrupt you.
That's okay.
If the Army comes on a boat and goes, okay, we're the Army, we're here, let's go shoot people on boats. That's the stupidest thing I ever heard.
By the way,
God,
the Army does have ships. Believe it or not. Look it up in your history. Yes.
Why?
They do.
Why? Why?
To transport their goods. You think
goods?
They get their tanks over there half the time? But just the Navy?
That's what you got the Navy for. You got a Navy for.
The Navy is not for freighting stuff. You don't use the Navy to freight things.
What do you think Marine stands for? Thank you, my S rides in Navy equipment. Okay?
So that's a completely disrespectful thing that is said. Thank you very much, John. Yeah, go ahead, sir. Give me that last thought. The Marines what?
Did you know that Marines work with the Navy SEALs?
Well, I don't understand that either, because Marines are supposed to only shoot people on land, too.
No, why do you think they're called Marines? They are originating on ships. Anyway, thanks a lot, John. They're called Marines because they originate, they're a fighting force that is ferried or taken to the point of combat by way of ships, by way of naval craft. Did you know that?
No, Mr. Andrew, you're not even in the Marines or in the Air Force.
Right, you're right. I'm not in the Marines, the Air Force. I'm in the SEALs. We'll be right back here. The world famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. R.C. Collins with us tonight, unfortunately.
Phil Henry.
What's that crack supposed to mean?
Call the Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Joining us on our newsmaker line this evening is a young man, R.C. Collins. He is a cadet at Bradley Military Academy. We're also going to have on your commandant, R.C., who can fill us in a little bit more on this incident, because let's remember that the reason why we're having you on the show isn't that we can discuss with you whether it was a good thing the SEALs killed Bin Laden. Of course it was.
I mean, I'm not arguing that, Mr. Henry. I think that it was a good thing that Bin Laden got killed, but I think that we, as members of that generation that did seem 9/11, that we didn't have no chance to do it ourselves. And
but I'm talking about when you went out on the survival.
Oh yeah, yes, sir.
So you go out on the survival training and you're drinking, you got drunk. You distilled some liquor out there in the woods. I guess that you get credit for that, you know.
Well, I mean, it isn't really a very difficult thing. I did bring with me grain alcohol and rainwater, and then I brought some fruit juice. I used some leaves, and pretty much felt that I as we say, I wanted to stomp some brain cells because I wasn't feeling. That there was really much challenge. The next morning, I woke up and I was in another place that I didn't know that I was. The place that I was in was not the place that I should have. That I knew. The place that I knew I wasn't in.
What I don't understand. What do you mean? The place you knew?
Well, I mean the place that I went to sleep, or where I thought I went to sleep.
So you blacked out?
Yes, sir. I guess I did.
Okay. 877-876-PHIL is our number. All right, I want to get into, and then we're going to have Commandant Wireman on, because what you did is you broke the regulations of the military academy. In the meantime, you're talking about the Navy SEALs. You're glad that they killed Bin Laden, but you don't believe that the Navy SEALs should have done it because they're Navy and they belong on water.
Yes, sir.
Well, you just heard a man say that the Navy SEALs stands for sea, air, and land.
Technically, Mr. Henry, that would be SAL, and I'm not trying to make a joke.
No, sea, air, and land, the first two letters of SEAL.
Well,
wait a minute. Sea, air, and land, first two letters of sea, air, and land, L, SEALs. Okay.
All right. Well, I mean, I think that's just a way of trying to justify two wrongs don't make a right. You know,
what do you mean two wrongs don't make a right? What does that mean? Are you telling me that the SEALs, the finest fighting force that we have, the most surgical team of commandos that the world has probably ever seen, you're telling me that these guys, they did something wrong?
No, sir. No, I am not saying that. I'm saying that the command chain kind of blew it, because I think what they should have done is said, okay, the Army guys, they take care of business, okay? If it's on land, if it's on terra firma, if it's, you know, if you can walk where you're going to be going to. Like, if you're in the Air Force, you can't walk to where you're going to go to fight. And if you're in the Navy, you can't walk there neither. So if the command chain can sit down and have a meeting, which of these guys, which ones does they walk? Or not, does they walk, but...
You know something? What about the Marines?
What about them? They're part... You said they come from the Navy. They were spawned by the Navy. The Marines are... I think they're almost like a gang or something. They're not even in... I think they're not under control or nothing. And
all right, you know something? I don't think you're qualified, you know...
Well, excuse me, Mr. Henry, but if I'm not qualified, you sure aren't qualified, because I said I'm ready to eat my own guts.
I don't think we have to be. I don't think I've got to be qualified to tell you what Marines do. You're calling them some kind of weird thing spawned by the Navy. You're saying that the SEALs should not have been used.
Yeah, they shouldn't be used because of the fact that they're on water. And the proof in that was when the Navy SEALs, that last week when they got attacked by the Taliban, and they were in an aircraft, that was further away from where they are normally going to be, which is on the water. And I think that disorients them. And I think that once they're disoriented, okay, they're all, what? We're supposed to be on land, I'm a SEAL. I was trained to be on the water, and now I'm not on water, and I'm not even on the land. I'm above the land in a craft that I'm not,
What do you think these guys are, man? You think they came out of the hills or something? You think they're like Martians? They understand. You heard what the man said.
Mr. Henry, I heard what that man said. You're using everything what he said to pretend like it's stuff that you thought up. And
no, I'm not pretending like it's stuff I thought up. I'm saying I heard that man talking about the training and the cross-training, which is very important. All right, hold the line here. Number 877-876-PHIL. I want to get on the line here. Commandant Harvey Wireman of the Bradley Military Academy. Commandant Wireman, sir?
Yes, this is Commandant Wireman.
Sir, how are you?
I'm good.
Can you give me a little background here on this situation?
First of all, I want to say to you, Phil, that in our command structure and in the command chain, as the commandant, this man, Cadet Wireman, should have already said to me, good evening.
Good evening, Commandant Wireman.
Well, it's a little too late, isn't it?
Yes, sir.
So you've already shown insolence and disrespect by not saying good evening and saluting and all of that. Now, the reason why I sound very informal, Phil, is because it's a military academy at Bradley Military Academy. But we still have a very rigid training exercise. Now, Cadet Collins?
Yeah, it's actually, well, yeah, okay.
What does that mean? It's actually, yeah, okay.
I'm sorry, sir. I mean, it's actually third level, Cadet Collins.
Well, don't correct me. Don't ever correct me. Do you understand?
Is Mr. Henry there?
Don't ask if Mr. Henry is there.
I'm here, but I'm listening to Commandant Wireman talking to you.
Well, I just thought, anytime you want to jump in with something.
Don't talk to him. You're talking to me.
Yes, sir.
Commandant, Cadet, whatever your name is, Collins.
I don't know if it's senility.
Listen to me.
Yes,
you have disgraced yourself. You've disgraced Bradley Military Academy with your drunkenness and now with this outrageous behavior on a national talk show tonight. You are talking about your brotherhood. You're talking about the military machine of the United States of America, the armed forces. Do you understand that?
Yes, sir, I do.
You're talking about Navy SEALs like they're a bunch of guys. And what did you say in that paper that I read yesterday?
Sir, I thought that I was doing the right paper.
No, you did not. You said Navy SEALs spend all their time throwing a beach ball back and forth to each other in swimming pools, didn't you?
I do not remember, sir.
Don't lie to me. Didn't you say that?
Yes, sir, I did.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not kidding. This kid wrote a paper as part of his punishment and said that he truly believed Navy SEALs spent most of their time frolicking in swimming pools and throwing balls back and forth.
I thought they were playing volleyball.
You thought they were playing volleyball. You further said that you thought the Marines were some freak of nature, some kind of illegal street gang spawned by the Navy. You further went on to say that the Army is underused, disrespected, and you said the Army kicks all of its incompetent officers upstairs. Were you talking about me?
No, sir, I was not talking about you. I'd never not do, no, I would never do that.
Yeah, bull crap. I want you to report to my office in 3 minutes. I'm here in the Commandant building, and then I'll be retiring to my quarters.
Yes, sir.
That is all.
Where'd they go?
I guess you gotta go report to the Commandant.
Well, he's not supposed to hang up on me, but you gotta figure these things out, bud, before they go on the air with me, okay?
Yeah, he said he gotta go report.
I heard what he said. I know what he said. He just hangs the phone up?
Yeah, I guess that's the way it's a command structure and all other stuff like that.
Are they going to call us back?
I'm holding on to call right now.
All right, well, Bud Dickman will call. Where are you calling?
I'm calling the Commandant's Quarters.
The Commandant's Quarters. Are you calling Wireman?
Yeah.
All right, in other news.
Yo, Commandant Wireman?
In other news.
Yeah, this is Bud Dickman.
There's a civil war here.
Is he there?
Will you shut up?
Yeah, he's there.
There's a, oh, okay. Let me get it back on. Commandant Wireman, sir?
Yes, this is Commandant Wireman. I've got Cadet Collins here. Cadet Collins has defaced and defiled and otherwise disgraced Bradley Military Academy. He will kiss the gunner's daughter at approximately yay past leeway. Yay past leeway, which is a Navy term. And
what are you using Navy terms for? That's gay. I'm in the Army.
Why, you little... Ow! Yeah. Felt pretty good.
What is kiss the gunner's daughter?
Kissing the gunner's daughter is to simply hug a cannon. This is a cannon from the War of 1812 that has been bronzed, and it was placed out in front of Bradley Military Academy. I have it hauled to my quarters when I know that we have a cadet that will kiss the gunner's daughter. He embraces the cannon with his trousers dropped three-quarters of the way across the cheeks of the buttock. At that time, I remove my belt, which is a very thick rawhide belt, and I begin to flail away until there is blood. Now, we don't try to scar the young man, but we do want him to be reminded of his duties. And I have to enjoy it. Now, that is part of Army regulation.
What do you mean you've got to enjoy it?
I've got to enjoy it.
Yeah, I looked it up with Army regulation, and he got to enjoy it.
You didn't look up anything.
Hold on for a minute. Kiss the gunner's daughter.
Is it gay past leeway yet?
I don't know. It's a quarter to midnight. That's good enough. That's got it. What are you laughing at? I just scarred a man for life.
That really hurt.
Thanks very much.
But now, wait a minute. I bought advertising on your show.
Okay, so, Bud, thank you very much. What'd you do? Dial a nut house?
That's the Bradley Military Academy, the place you want me to dial.
Well, it sounds like some nut bin. It sounds to me like they got whatever got loose in that place.
I thought he was doing it in rhythm there.
Yeah, he's spanking that kid in rhythm. Ow, 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 whatever. All right, we'll be back with more news and more fantastic wonderfulness. Good God. Here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, Ted Bell may stop by. Plus, news and information with Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard, the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. The Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Well, one of the things I've always believed, just in my travels in this world, one of the things I've always believed is that autocrats, dictators, people that are in the business of non-democratic forms of government, you know, sheikhs and kings and all of those kinds of people that we fought our revolution to get rid of. It's always been my belief that those people are ultimately really stupid. And I've got proof. In the last 100 years, every form of autocracy or dictatorship or totalitarianism that we have ever fought has been against a leader or a set of leaders who were so ignorant of our way of life, how we think, what motivates us, what gets us up off our ass and going, that it was fatal to them. Like Al-Qaeda, like the Nazis, in some respects like the communists. They always short Americans. They always say that we're lazy. They always say that we're, we're mixing too much the races. You know, we're too much of that jazz, too much of that rock and roll, too much soft living. It's always the same thing. And they always make that mistake to their ultimate, destruction. I mean, if you were to look at the world, for instance, and I keep using as a metaphor World War II because it's a very good one. If you look at the world back then and you saw these goose-stepping guys in these helmets and shiny boots, and then you saw a bunch of cats dancing to jazz music, and you were asked which one will win the war, I'm sure you would have picked the Nazis. But therein lies the true understanding of people and societies, and particularly ours. If you give people freedom and you give them a good life and a happy life, they want to fight for it, you know. Now, here comes David Letterman. David Letterman is now the target of a jihadist movement. And by the way, they consider David Letterman to be a Jew, which he's not. They said he is a sick Jew. The jihadist posted a photo of the 64-year-old comedian describing him as a sick Jew as defined features. Anyway, threats to David Letterman's tongue out and assassination, threats to cut his tongue out and assassinate him, have been posted on a website frequented by Al-Qaeda after he gloated about the death of one of Osama bin Laden's lieutenants, Ilyas Kashmiri, in a seething rant on some jive-ass web forum and translated by the Site Institute. The radical called this week for U.S. counterparts to assassinate Letterman and cut the tongue out of the lowly Jew. He's actually a Presbyterian. I don't know if, in terms of ethnicity, if his people are anywhere from anywhere near the Mediterranean. Doesn't look like it to me.
From wherever Alfred E. Newman's from.
Wherever Alfred E. Newman's from, huh?
Well, no, I'm not joking. I mean, what part are Alfred E. Newman's people from the Mediterranean?
Does it look like Alfred E. Newman's people are from the Mediterranean?
No.
In any event, he's a lowly Jew. That's what they think. According to the site group, which tracks extreme websites, a poster calling himself Umar al-Baswari is responsible for the post. I saw with my own eyes and heard with my own ears one of the lowlifes of the Jews and one of their pigs mocking one of the leaders of the Mujahideen, he wrote. The talk show host reportedly celebrated the death of the terror leader by joyfully signaling a finger across his neck. Sounds good to me. The jihadist posted a photo of the 64-year-old comedian describing him as a sick Jew is defined features. What does that mean?
Some kind of Al-Mujahideen thing.
Al-Mujahideen.
That's the name of the guy.
That ain't no name of a guy. You mean Al-Qaeda or Mujahideen?
Yeah.
Yeah. Site analyst Adam Raisman told Entertainment Weekly that the threat was made on Shmuck al-Islam. Is that what it's called?
No.
Well, that's what it says. Shmuck al-Islam, a site where messages from al-Qaeda frequently first appear online in the U.S. It's a clearinghouse for al-Qaeda material. It gets the most al-Qaeda supporters. Don Borelli, former assistant special agent in charge of the FBI, said the rhetoric is not a joke. In general, you cannot write any of these off as a non-viable threat. These internet threats have been a rallying cry to have the guy's head. If I am the guy targeted in one of those things, I would be taking it seriously and hunker down. That belief is not universally shared, however. It could be a total hoax and probably is, but in this world of mass communication, something that seems frivolous can intensify, you know, if it gets picked up by the wrong people. This is a guy named Charles Strosler. I think you got to take it seriously only from the standpoint of the whole monkey see, monkey do mentality of the American people, or the monkey see, monkey do mentality of these weird asses. You know, he may not even be the guy. There might be a guy targeting David Letterman who is not even Islamic. He might not even, you know, probably American. But he's a psycho, and it's that monkey see, monkey do thing. So he wants to copycat or whatever. And so whatever security steps Mr. Letterman could take, he should take. And it doesn't have to be anything more than a bodyguard. And I'm sure that that's something he can afford, you know.
Well, yeah, but the Al-Qaeda and all them, man, they come after you with like 5-6 guys.
Yeah, they have a whole bunch of people.
Oh, that ain't going to happen. I mean, I wouldn't stake my life on it. If there's any threat to Mr. Letterman, it's by one nut who's going to say, wow, I think I'll do what Al-Qaeda, you know, wants me to. And that's taken care of by a bodyguard. Not by a bunch of, you don't have to hire a limousine driver. What are you talking about, those limousine drivers? You know?
Yeah, those guys who learn how to drive and everything, and they squeal it around and stuff.
Yeah, I've seen that on TV.
Whoa, you saw it on TV. It must be fantastic. You know.
Hey, they train really hard to do that.
I understand that, but it doesn't necessarily mean that's what he needs. I don't personally think that he's going to be attacked by some squad of Al-Qaeda guys, you know, jumping in front of the car and guys jumping in.
You ever saw that movie? You saw that movie that we've seen, The Enforcer, Remember how they tased the mayor and everything?
That was a Clint Eastwood movie. Are you nuts or something?
Yeah, but it could happen.
Did it? That movie's 30-some years old. They jump into the limousine, and they tase the mayor, and then they get this freaking shoulder-mounted Stinger missile, Laws rockets, and they blow the guard tower off of Alcatraz or some jazz. You know, I don't know, man. Taped at the Ed Sullivan Theater on Broadway in Midtown, Letterman leaves at about 2:30. He goes home to 453. I'm kidding. You know,
boy, what if they did that?
No, they're not going to do that. Taped at the Ed Sullivan Theater on Broadway in Midtown, Letterman's phone number. No, Letterman's show is on a summer hiatus. A spokesman for its production company, Worldwide Pants, wouldn't comment on the threat. The comic isn't alone among media figures singled out for taunting radicals. In 2004, Dutch filmmaker Theo. Oh, that's a good one to bring up. That guy died. Dutch filmmaker Theo van Gogh, who, yes, was a distant relative of Vincent van Gogh, was murdered after producing a film targeting the status of women in Muslim culture. That's one of those, I'll never forget that, because I thought it, I better not say, but I thought it perfectly illustrated how united the artistic community in the world is, especially filmmakers. When that young man was killed, nobody said a word. Not a word! In the U.S., South Park creators Trey Stone and Matt Parker were marked for death online after their show satirized Muslims. I would talk to those guys. They probably know what they're doing.
Henry.
Yeah. We'll be back. Phil Henry Show.